field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now verse 34. And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now, the fact of the matter is, Nebuchadnezzar had already used this expression himself. And he used it earlier in the previous chapter in connection with those three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know about that story, and we'll deal with it another time. Nebuchadnezzar built this idol, this image, demanded them to bow down. They wouldn't bow down, to kind of make a long story short. And he threw them in the fiery furnace, and then he made it even hotter. And he saw a fourth one in the furnace, and he said, "That looks like the Son of Man." And so we read in chapter 3 in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar, he came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 26. He spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. These are words that he used himself, acknowledging, at least to a degree, at that point, the greatness of the God of Israel, the God of Daniel. Now, no doubt here in Daniel chapter 3, that this great king still clings to his gods, but he's merely acknowledging the God of these three men, the Hebrew men, their God is greater than his gods. But at this point, he hasn't given up his gods yet. He has not been convinced that the God of heaven and earth rules over all and gives it to whomsoever he will. He hasn't learned that, but he will, because the Lord is going to deal with him. Now, as we get to chapter 4, I think it's very important that we notice this. This entire chapter is related, is stated, was written by Nebuchadnezzar himself. And God used Daniel to record the words of Nebuchadnezzar and put it in Holy Scripture, and it is here forever and ever. These are the words of the king. And I'll show you that. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Remember, this is the most powerful man at that time in the world. All the kingdoms of the world, all the nations acknowledged the greatness of this man, and they were all serving him. He had authority over all of them. And so he writes this letter, this great king does, and he sends it out by his ambassadors to all of these nations that he's conquered them. And they pay tribute to him. And he says in the second verse, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. I want to tell you what God has done for me. Verse 3, how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar. And then he begins to give his testimony. This is a marvelous testimony recorded in Scripture. Now, several years ago, I offended a family in the church that I was pastoring, because the man of the family, he said, I think we ought to every once in a while just have a testimony meeting and not have a preaching service. And I disagreed with that, because I said the Bible doesn't say it pleased God by having a testimony meeting to save sinners. It says it pleased God through the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe. And he got quite offended. And I said, listen, I was raised in religion. I've been to a lot of testimony meetings. And I said, we had another word for it. We call them bragamony meetings. Bragamony meetings. And people would get up and they'd talk about what they'd done, they'd been a rascal, and then how they let God do this and they let God do that and what they did. And it was all about them. It was, and they would say, I did this and I did that. It was all about I. And I said, I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have a testimony meeting. And I told him, I said, as far as I can find, one of the best testimonies ever is in Daniel chapter 4. Because that's what this is. This is a man giving a witness of that which God had done for him, how God brought him down. Here's an arrogant man. Here's a boastful man. Here's a man who's filled with pride. He thought he was the greatest man in the whole world. And then he has this very troubling dream that he couldn't understand. And he called all of his soothsayers and wise men and astrologers and so forth in, and they couldn't interpret the dream. And then Daniel did. And as I've already read to you, Daniel told him, this is what the dream means. Now let me show you how it comes to pass. So I'll read again, beginning in verse 28 of Daniel 4. All this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, everything happened just as Daniel said it would. Because this was indeed the decree of the watchers. It's just what God has decreed. I know there are a lot of people who don't think anything about the decrees of God. But Nebuchadnezzar did, and Daniel did. And Nebuchadnezzar, he came to find out that everything Almighty God has decreed always comes to pass. This was God's decreed will for him. And he tells the story. And as it unfolds, we see the mercy of God, the grace of God in dealing with the man in a way of compassion. And the man doesn't deserve any mercy, but nobody does. But God showed him mercy for Christ's sake. And so we read in verse 28, and all of this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. A whole year had gone by. Nothing happened. Nothing happened for a year. And he probably just kind of forgot about it. Well, I know Daniel interpreted, but hey, a whole year's gone by. That's all water under the bridge. He keeps on expanding his kingdom. And verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? It's all about him. And verse 31 says, and while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee as of right now. and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times, 7 years is what most commentators believe, 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled. Everything God has decreed is fulfilled. It always comes to pass. Fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. His sanity came back. Now listen. All men without Christ Jesus are spiritually insane. Insanity rules over the world in the spiritual realm. And this man is brought down low to show us that we are little better than beasts of the field because we know nothing of the spiritual things of God. We know nothing of Christ Jesus. We know nothing of our own fall. We know nothing of the greatness of God, that the Most High ruleth over all. And people, and this is all of us by nature, we're just insane. We don't know. We're ignorant. We're ignorant. And then understanding returned unto him. Well, how can it be returned unto him? We became insane through Adam's fall. We lost all spiritual intelligence in Adam's transgression. And we've been spiritually insane from birth. And the Lord has to do something for us. He has to give us understanding. And when He does, when He shows us what we are, He shows us the Savior, He shows us salvation, He shows us the importance of the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, God is then blessing us, and we in turn bless Him. He said, I bless the Most High. You won't find Nebuchadnezzar saying, oh, this is all due to my will. No, he knows who it is, who has dealt with him, who has dealt with him in grace. He deserved to be put into hell. So did we. So did we. But God spared him. It's a blessed day when God dresses us down. When he brings us down to see we are nothing. And He is everything, and the only way we can come to Him is through Christ Jesus, the Lord. He brings us down, brings us low. How low does He bring us? Low enough that we make the dust our headquarters. And that's the way it was with Nebuchadnezzar. And then God gave him understanding. He opened his mind, he opened his heart. And he began to grasp the greatness of God. And undoubtedly, he remembered the preaching of Daniel and the preaching of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about Messiah coming. And all of these things began to surge into his mind and surge into his heart as God gave him understanding. He knew why Daniel prayed. He knew why Daniel looked toward Jerusalem. He's looking toward Jerusalem where Messiah will come, who will come suddenly to his temple, as it says in the book of Malachi. Nebuchadnezzar knew these things. And he says, I bless the Most High. Oh, he's not an infidel anymore. He's not a hater of God anymore. He's casting away his own gods. And he's bowing before the God who is God, who rules over all. He says, I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. It's just like God said in His Word, we're nothing. You show me a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who understands that they are nothing, I'll show you somebody the Lord's teaching. And nothing. And that He doeth according to His will. In the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say His hand, none can say an end, what are you doing? At the same time, verse 36, my reason returned unto me. For the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. And His ways, judgment. He's a God of righteousness. That's what Nebuchadnezzar is saying. He's a God who demands righteousness, who gives righteousness, and who provided righteousness in His Son, who is the Lord our righteousness. And those that walk in pride, He's able to abase. And I'll give you six things real quick that Nebuchadnezzar learned. He learned that God lives forever. Verse 34. I lifted up mine eyes into heaven, mine understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever. Nebuchadnezzar could mark his birthdays. But he said, this God, He doesn't have any birthdays. He lives forever and ever. He's without beginning, He's without ending, and He's absolutely independent. And Nebuchadnezzar came to understand he was dependent upon this God. This God didn't need him. This God is independent. In fact, this is how we define sovereignty, God's independent right. Independent right. To rule things according to His own pleasure. He's influenced by nobody. You're influenced by a lot of people, and in all things, you're influenced by God. God's not influenced by anything or anybody. He's absolutely independent. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. But we sure do need Him. So he learned God is everlasting. Number two, he learned that God's dominion has no boundaries. That same verse. God's dominion have no boundaries. All people, all nations, all countries, His dominion's over all of them. Number three, he learned that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. We have nothing, we know nothing, we can contribute nothing. And we are nothing when compared to God. He's everything, and we're nothing. And when we make ourselves to be something, then we necessarily detract from the fact that God is everything. You see, if He's everything, there's no room for us to be anything. But if we are something, then to that degree, we bring God down. And that's what religion is about today. It's about bringing God down. But you can't bring God down. Only in your own corrupt mind can you bring God down. But God, He's the Most High who reigneth over all. And we're nothing. We're nothing. And then, fourthly, he learned that God exerts His power over all His creation, because He says in verse 35, He doeth His will. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he's not talking about His will. He's talking about God's will. He's not bragging about his own will. He's talking about God's will. He doeth his will everywhere, all time. The will of God. And number five, he learned that the will of God is irresistible. Irresistible. What he wants to do is exactly what he does. And he doesn't ask your permission, and he doesn't need it. And sixthly, he learned that God is able to abase anybody. Because he says in the last verse, and you'll notice that in verse 4 he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I was at rest. In other words, I was secure. I was at ease. I was untroubled. I didn't have a care. Didn't have a worry. He's the most powerful man in the world. But God brought him down. And he says in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. I love that language. The King of heaven. Who is Christ Jesus? He's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. How do you get those titles? By way of a bloody cross. That's his exaltation. He says, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. Everything he does is in truth. His name is truth. And his ways, judgment or righteousness. And this is what he learned. And those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. And he will abase all men and women someday. He'll either abase you and me in this life and bring us down, or he'll abase us after death and we'll be forced to come down and acknowledge his lordship. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, the Most High ruleth. And I love that ETH. If you have a New King James Version, and maybe some of you do, and that's okay. There are some people who use a New King James Version, and I understand. But they take that ETH away and say he reigns. But that ETH gives us the idea he's always reigning. That's the beauty of it. He's always reigning. He never gave up his throne. Never has, never will. He reigns over everything in heaven. Among all the armies of heaven. How many armies are there in heaven? Armies of his angels. How many are the armies of the evil one? A lot of those too. He reigns over all of them. And all the inhabitants of the earth. How many billion people live? How many billions of people live on the earth? I don't know. But he rules over every one of them. Every one of them. And you and I who know him through Christ Jesus, we should be at ease in this world, knowing that our God reigns over all things. He is the Most High who ruleth. He ruleth. He doesn't want to. He's not. It isn't that he's going to. He does. He always has, and he always will. Yeah. Well, let's